Greetings and good day. Welcome back to another installment, a unscheduled installment of Happy Valley, a For All Mankind podcast. I'm Donnie.
I'm Brian.
Oh my gosh,
and Donnie,
Brian. Yes.
Donnie, you're like shivering. Your voice is shaking.
My heart is palpitating, not palpitating, because that would be a different universe.
So what's funny though, before you say this, today we checked our email,
right,
which both of us have been so busy. Donnie especially.
Life has been bad.
Yeah.
Like, good, bad, but bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I checked our email and there was an old email from Jade, and I kind of signed off on the email just saying, still no announcement about For All Mankind. This is ridiculous. Right. This is stupid.
Right.
And then like 30 minutes later, Donnie's calling me.
So yeah, as of like 11 a.m. Central, my friends, my fellow Bobs, the news dropped. We are getting For All Mankind season 5.
Yeah.
It has been renewed. Yeah. Like, I'm so excited. By the way, like, Brian and I are jumping on. We're just recording this. Like, we haven't discussed show notes. We haven't discussed anything. I think we both agreed, like, we want to just go ahead and start recording because, like, let's not even talk about it. Let's let this thing roll. But we got news about an official season 5 renewal. No release dates yet, but I mean, it's early. But not only season 5, folks, we're also getting a spinoff that will be called Star City, produced by all of our showrunners at For All Mankind, but Star City as well, there's a couple of articles that are out there. I guess I can go ahead and just start reading. This is by The Wrap. But it says, For All Mankind, Apple TV Plus's critically acclaimed series that follows an alternate history version of the space race has been renewed for a fifth season. And along with it, creators Ronald D. Moore, Matt Wolpert, and Ben Nadivi are set to expand the For All Mankind universe with a brand new spinoff series named Star City. Wolpert and Nadivi will show run the new series set within the Russian space program. Both series are produced for Apple TV by Sony Pictures Television. And it kind of goes into giving a little bit more information about the spinoff as well. And I already got speculation that I think we need to discuss here. But it said, described as, quote, a propulsive paranoid thriller that takes us back to the key moment in the alt history retelling of the space race, Star City explores how the Soviet Union became the first nation to put a man on the moon. This was covered early in the For All Mankind run, but this time, quote, we explore the story from behind the Iron Curtain, showing the lives of the cosmonauts, the engineers, and the intelligence officers embedded among them in the Soviet space program and the risks that they all took to propel humanity forward, unquote.
Yeah, and I love that they're going back to the beginning, because there's a lot of unanswered questions, right? There's a lot of really interesting takes you'd have on what was going on when they beat us, and then what were their reactions to us upping the game. And the brilliant thing about this is you can have a young Danny, because Danny is young.
Right.
You can have Ed. You can have all these characters. It's so great. Yeah.
Totally brilliant. I mean, that was one of the points I wanted to bring up here, because, I mean, I believe Joel Kinnaman still has like this multi-year contract for All Mankind. So, I mean, I'm going back. If they're going to start this with season one or parallel or kind of prequel, like, there's that whole storyline in season one, which, by the way, yes, I'm going to talk spoilers for everything up to this point. Where he's has that interaction with the Soviet cosmonaut Mikhail, we can see kind of the build up to that interaction from the Soviet perspective, and then they can give us Joel Kinnaman again, like young Ed Baldwin, season one Ed Baldwin. You know, the whole season two where Danny is at Star City, and it's during the 007, the Korean Air 007 explosion, and she kind of gets locked up. Mm. We can get that perspective from the Soviet storytelling here. Like, I'm so pumped because we'll see younger versions. And the obvious logical thing here as well is we're getting more Sergei. We are
Sergei.
Gonna get more Sergei. We're getting more Sergei.
Come on, Sergei.
We're going to get a young Irina. We have to get a young Irina. Yeah. I don't know if they'll probably recast her, but I mean, they've got to give us young Sergei. We can get a younger version of Kuz. I mean, there's a lot of good Soviet characters here that we can get to see yeah. some younger versions of, and I'm just totally stoked.
And it's so exciting because last season the Soviet stuff was the show for me, right?
Right. Yes.
And you don't get a lot. You get some of that in season one, but you just don't get it like you do later.
Right.
And yeah, I'm very excited to see their side of it.
Yes.
I assume, and you're assuming as well, that they will do the decade jump for each season. But what I love about this is it's not like a cute take that you have to know the show and love the show to get into this show.
Right.
This can be a standalone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they can take their time with however they want to do the storytelling here. And I think it's safe to assume that For All Mankind season 5, we're going to get 10 episodes because that's been the format. I don't know what Star City is going to be, like how many episodes.
Yeah.
It could be less.
I bet you season 5 is going to be 8 and that'll be the last season. I really do think so. Like it took them this long to renew.
Oh, don't put water on. Don't douse my fire.
No, it could be a great send off.
Right.
I would rather they end it before they run out of ideas. But it needed another season. Like this, they did tie a bow on season 4 so that they could end it because they didn't know.
Right.
But there's absolutely a lot more story to tell. And
oh, no question. And season 5 that is, Helios centric or whatever they want to go. That was fun because I kind of punned there with heliocentric.
Yeah.
There's still story to tell there, but gosh, they can add even more depth by giving us this Soviet prequel. Dude, I'm so pumped.
Yeah. I'm as well, and now that they have a history to follow, like they're not thinking what's going to happen in 10 years. We know, right? They can do a lot more. Like I feel like season 1 and 2 and then kind of 3, the show creativity lost steam and they just kind of hedged their bets on whether they would have another season or not. And that's why you have Aleda in episode 1 as a kid who, like, they planned on being a main character throughout the entire series. In season 4, like, we get introduced to like 2 people and we hate one of them.
Sam was good.
And so, like, they're not but the people we were introduced to, Sam was good. But Sam and Garbage Man both were, like, there's no season 3 version of them. There's nobody like introduced in season 3 other than maybe Will.
Yeah, I mean, Will is important. I think Dima was technically introduced in season 2, the Russian doctor, but he was definitely built out in season 3.
But we didn't
have character development there. And then in 4 as well. So kind of a recurring character. I think another one that I really want to see more built out in Star City is Roland Baranoff. He was the defector in season 2 who also became a part of the NASA Mars mission in season 3. What were some of those driving factors that caused him to wake up from being shot at the Jamestown base and immediately say, "I wish to defect"? Like, give me some more of that backstory.
What happened on that ship on the trip?
So what's going on? The Zvezda base, being built out, some of the construction there. And I want to assume they're going to start with what Rondi Moore has gone on record as saying is the butterfly moment that caused the divergence of storyline here. And that was Sergei Korolev, who in our timeline died during surgery in 67, who survived in this one and was able to perfect the N1 rocket, which then in the For All Mankind universe is what propelled the Russians to be able to land on the moon first. So give me some more of that science, too. I can't wait to see that. Yeah, for the win.
Science!
Oh, I'm so excited.
You haven't mentioned this yet, but we also now can have more coups.
And that's where, like, is this going to be a multi-season show? They probably don't know at this point. Which story do you tell in the first season?
They don't know.
And how much do you save? Because
he was in
Coos doesn't pop season... up until season 3. So, I mean, we see Coos in his prime on the Mars 94 mission. So yeah, how much story do you tell before that? Mm-hmm. We'll get some Space Shuttle Baron stuff if there's a season two, if they set some of this in 83, or do they even follow these decade formats? Or do they just kind of want to fill in the gaps between these seasons? Yeah. I feel like this can be an avenue for that as well. I mean, so the other thing I was thinking, Brian, was like, how long have they been sitting on this? Because I feel like this would have been something that they probably started developing on paper, maybe during season three, or at least during the writer's room for season four.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they've been sitting on this for a while for this to be something that they've pitched and Apple TV Plus has gotten on board with.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to say because I feel like, or I don't feel like I know, and we've talked about this before, like, Apple TV isn't necessarily that, like, they're becoming the sci-fi center in streaming services, but they're not like marketing. Promoting things the way that you think they would. And it just feels like it's the marketing is just not there. And so I don't know that Ron D was like, okay, when this big hit goes, what's the next spinoff? Well, you know, that we're going to do. I'm sure he's always thinking about that, right?
Well, and I don't want to doubt.
When did they put pen to paper? I don't know.
You've already been a buzzkill and said, okay, this means season five is the final, but maybe not. The other way of looking at this is, what a vote of confidence by Apple TV Plus to say, we're going to renew and go ahead and invest in a spinoff as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that says that this is getting eyeballs, at least for them, and that they want to, you know, expand the universe. But again, I think it's a smart play because it is a separate story that can be told separately. Like, I would love a Happy Valley TV show, which we would obviously star in. But you would have to know what's going on to even want to watch it. Right. Cause it, a bunch of guys on Mars in an alternative universe.
I mean, Brian,
it's not a good starting place.
Reinforce what you just said as far as, you know, is this show still charting? I just pulled up the Apple TV Plus app just to see, like, real time where we are as of April 17th, 2024. Right now, it's ranking number 11 on Apple TV Plus. So it's still charting well. It's definitely top 25. Okay. And I would say still, I mean, the season four finale was back in January. It's getting a lot of traction still at this point. I mean, just to kind of say, like, other off-season things, like Severance is 21 I see right now. C is 23, Invasion's 25. So Silo is number 19 right now. So a Constellation, which are they still doing new episodes of? It's 13. Yeah. It's behind For All Mankind at this point, which that's a series I still haven't picked up. But my point here is we're in off season and it's still charting high compared to some other things on the platform.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that means that it is being discovered and, you know, we'll have more and more people that love the show. It's excellent. It's so well done.
I'm so excited.
We're getting more Bob. Yeah. So, okay. I know this is a surprise episode. There's a couple other things season we need to talk about. So season five, what are some ideas you have?
We're going
to have
some of the season 12. We're going to be getting, I think, a free Mars storyline because we got a little teaser in that last shot of the Kuznetsov station. But also these seasons, every other season happens in a single year. So season two happened in 83. Season four all happened in 2003. The other seasons have bridged multi-year. So I feel like that there could be a multi-year story that they tell with this one. And are we going to just continue to be Mars-centric, or are they going to be pushing for the next thing? And then the question becomes, what is the next thing?
Yeah.
So,
well, the asteroid belt's the next thing, right?
I mean, I think logically, do they have a Jupiter mission yet?
They mentioned Jupiter. That's right. Yeah. In season one, I think.
So if you go back to the, I think, the Gene Kranz speech in the first episode, they mentioned Saturn.
Saturn.
I still don't know if Saturn is the next logical step, if we're just going to totally go past Europa and Io and some of the moons of Jupiter and go straight to going to like try to visit Titan, moon of Saturn.
You're such a nerd.
Dude, you know this about me at this point. I mean, how long have we been in each other's lives since like 2001? And you're just now, you know I'm a nerd.
Oh, no, it just.
You're just reinforced.
Every time we talk, yeah, how much of a nerd it's like, I am. Man.
I mean, God, dude, this made my day. This news, this is huge. We've been hoping and waiting patiently. And Apple TV not only announced season 5, but they announced a spinoff. I just don't know what to say.
I still need my Christmas special with Coos and Ed on Mars. Okay, so
while they're eating burgers,
back to season 5. back to season 5. The big question. There's two big questions. Does Ed come back? And do we finally get to hear the fate of Danny Stevens?
Yeah. I don't think we get any finality on Danny Stevens. I do think that.
Well, I'm just saying he may pop up.
Yes. And I think, I'd have to go back and read what we know publicly about Joel Kinnaman's contract. But I feel like they initially gave him, it was like a five to seven season deal. And I feel like this could be their loophole to say, we're going to plug Joel into this prequel series and still either have an out to kind of follow your theory of season 5 being the final. And then we just do spinoffs from there and just kind of go back and just build out more of this universe, or say he's done after season 5, but you're still going to get more Joel Kinnaman because we're going to give you this spinoff. It's kind of like the Andrew Lincoln thing with The Walking Dead. Like after Andy Lincoln was kind of done, but contractually obligated to do more projects. So you kind of have this whole spinoff thing happening with him. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Joel, that's actually a good example. So Andrew Lincoln, has he done anything notable since Walking Dead?
I think for him, from just an acting work perspective, I mean, that was kind of a crown jewel. And I mean, I have to assume he got paid real. And he's doing a spinoff right now, which I still haven't watched. I honestly just kind of lost interest.
He and Michonne have
a spinoff now.
Michonne and
originally was going to be films. Then the pandemic threw all plans out the window, and it became a spinoff series that's on AMC.
Yeah, I think it's like The Ones Who Lived or something like that. I forget the name of it.
I believe you are correct. Yes.
Okay, so season 5, my prediction is it opens back on the scene with Danny and Ed looking at Danny Stevens. Mm-hmm. And then we finally see that breath that he takes where we're like, he is alive. go-to montage of him setting up base at the other camp. He's doing clothes, he's doing food all by himself. And we just see him for 10 years, like what happens to him, you know?
Living in the North Korean capsule and or Sojourner 1.
That's my prediction, yeah.
Okay. So, all right. I respect your craft that you're really sticking to this nonsense.
Yeah. Theory. And he's built out like a little really city, good. But it's still just him.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Maybe he has some goofy characters that he's made up, like, Wilson type characters. That's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. I respect that you're trying to stick to this theory. On a more serious and realistic note, I think that there's a higher chance of Chris Marshall appearing in the Star City spinoff as a younger Danny than she'll be in season 5.
Yeah, they really did.
I feel like they put a bow on.
Yeah, Danny's they did. Story. They did.
So
I think that we will get more Ed. I've seen people talk about this, but I don't know how everybody on Mars is not arrested. And put in prison. Yeah. But I think we see that Dev is free. He absolutely should not be. So they can't, I hope they don't yada yada that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think they will. But they will have some convenient writing plot device to, you know, reset the season for season five, and it still be our centric characters of the Blinn dynasty family and Dev Iessa. So, and honestly, I mean, that's what I want to see. I want to see, give me some Dev and give me some Kelly and give me some Alex, who's now a teenager, helping build out a society on Mars. I think it's, I think there is opportunity for some compelling storytelling there. And what's happening with Margo? We have to get a Margo getting ready in the morning scene in prison or wherever she is. And are we going to have more Marv, or is Marv done? And is Aleta running Helios from Earth still? Like, that, I have so many questions, and we're not going to get answers for any of these things for probably another year, but
2 years,
we are going to get answers. That is what we learned.
We're
going to
get answers. Yep. Yeah. I just, to kind of put a bow on this, I'm very excited. I do want to see, season four was disappointing. It was still great television. I would say it was one of the best seasons of a show, probably that over the last year, maybe top five, we'll say. That said, it is a huge departure from the first two seasons, and I'd like to see them take some risks and do more science, and tell a more coherent story. Like, there was problems with this season.
Yeah.
And I hope they take some notes.
Well, and I think to your point, one of the concerns there is that season four was the first time that Ron D. Moore was not involved on a day-to-day basis. So, and the fact that he's not going to be involved in this spinoff, other than he'll be an executive producer, but I don't think he's going to be one of the showrunners. That could be a potential concern. Wait and see. We'll see.
We'll see. Well, Donnie...
We did it.
We did it. We got an episode five or season five. We got a spinoff that we didn't ask for.
But Merry Christmas. Happy April 17th because you're getting a spinoff. We're getting a spinoff. I'm so giddy. I may have been pacing my house. I may have run a couple of laps around the house when this news came out. And I really am truly like ecstatic. I know you can't tell that as a listener right now, but holy Moses.
Your voice is shaking, dude.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Now I'm singing. Oh,
yeah. It's great. All right. Well, anything else to say on this, Donnie?
Guys, we do have more content that's coming, and it really is my fault. There's just a lot of life change happening. Everybody's good. But like I'm in the process of a move and, it's a lame excuse, but Rewatch is on and it is coming. We've recorded a little and we're kind of waiting till we get a little bit more in the can before we start releasing these on like a weekly basis, but it is coming. But in the meantime, we love you guys and we love this show and we're really excited about the news that came out today. So, thank you for celebrating with us, my fellow Bobs, because there is more to come.
Yep.
Let's go.
All right. Let's go.
All right, Brian. Well, until next time, I guess then we just kind of sign off and we say bye, Bob.
Yep. Bye, Bob.